to see what they did in the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl, pretty dominant. But what I saw in New York, Broncos and the Seahawks, I never seen people hit so hard before in person. Like, in person. Like, I was feeling
that was Peyton Manning with a few bullets left.
Yeah.
It's the future.
Down and distance.
On WGNRadio.com.
Obviously, I had a lot of time to think about it, and I've seen so much, you know, blown out of proportion. But, you know, at the end of the day, when you invest so much time, when you sacrifice so much, and things don't go as planned, I think emotions take over. I think that's what happens. And as far as trying to be like this person, trying to be like that person, I heard numerous, you know, quotes about, you know, what if this person was in that situation? How would he have handled it? Well, we've seen this person do that. How he would have handled it? Well, the truth of the matter is, I'm not trying to be this person, nor am I trying to be that person. You know, I've said it since day one. I am who I am. I know where I'm capable of. I know what I'm capable of, and I know where I'm going.
Oh, when it all, yeah, it all falls down.
This the real one, baby.
I'm telling you.
What's going on? It's your boy, Jared Payton, alongside Sean Davis. Down the Distance, DAD Pod on Twitter. I'm at Payton Sun, PAYT1SUN.
Sean Davis, ST2 Mics.
And I'm fresh off of a nice vacation. Still smell like the West Coast, so I'm enjoying. I don't really like this cold weather outside, but I can deal with it.
I'm digging the red bandana on your head, though.
Oh, thank you.
Crip it out.
Yeah, I had to. You know, I was out there just
did
hanging
out.
Did
I say crip it out? My fault.
Yeah, yeah, you did. But blood. You know, blood, yeah. But you know, I had the nice crease with my Chucks on while I was out there.
Yeah.
West coasting it. But I got to see a game that I didn't think I was going to see.
Get to the game, man.
What?
Did you take your shot? Did you take your shot? You had to take your shot. You were backstage at NFL Honors taking pictures with K-Dot.
Yes.
Did you spit your 16?
No, I didn't get a chance.
Come on,
man. Didn't get a chance to.
You didn't spit 16 for
I was too nervous.
You could have had that Beats money.
I know. I was trying to get, you know, I was just trying to get a picture. Roger Goodell was yelling at me to hurry up to get on stage, and I was like, I am not missing this opportunity to take a picture with Kendrick Lamar. I don't care who's calling me right now. My mom could be calling me and telling me I am not missing this opportunity. And I messed up on the first selfie, and he was gracious enough to say, take another one. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Took another one, and it came out perfect.
With all the great people that were there in that building.
Yes.
That's the one dude that made you say, man.
Yeah, because I see, you know why? Because I see most of those people.
Yeah.
I've never seen Kendrick Lamar, and I've always wanted to meet him just to say hello, and he was super tiny, like short.
5'5".
Yeah, like short. And I'm going, this is amazing when you look at people on TV, but very nice and just.
Speaking of never seen.
Yeah.
In the modern era.
Yes.
Best defense you've ever seen in a Super Bowl? Of course, they've been compared to the 85 Bears. We can stop that.
But they're
back-to-back performances. Let's go back to the AFC Championship game in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And who they went up against. Have you seen better than that?
It's tough, no, because, I mean, I put a poll out on Twitter the other day about the greatest defenses, Super Bowl performances since the 85 Bears. So that would be the 2000 and Ravens.
The Ravens.
The
Bucks.
The Bucks. And then the Seahawks.
Right.
And then this Broncos team, right? Yeah. Back-to-back performances, I don't know other than I would have to say yes. Like, to see what they did in the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl, pretty dominant. But what I saw in New York, Broncos and the Seahawks, I never seen people hit so hard before in person. Like, in person. Like, I was feeling.
And that was Peyton Manning with a few bullets left.
Yeah. And that was an offense that I thought would not be stopped. And that Seattle defense had me was. I didn't even want to see their offense. Get their offense off the field. I just want to watch defense. And I love watching offenses. I just wanted to watch their defense. So, yeah, it's tough. I'm going to have to say, yeah, to see what they did. for to shut down. And you know what? Wade Phillips needs to get a little bit of credit, man, and a lot of credit, I should say, of how he came up with plans to figure out how to be able to come up with a scheme and be disciplined and really trust your scheme to go into a Super Bowl. Because I can only imagine the hours put in of watching, you know, read option and dealing with the read option and dealing with the quarterback that can move as much as Cam Newton, which we saw this entire year. Outstanding job, that defense. But player-wise?
It's amazing what one player can make you, can mask.
Yes.
And I think you had a conversation with some NFL players with Anquan Boldin about the game the night before.
Yeah.
And it was kind of shocking, like, you know, because we looked at them scoring over 30 points a game, and you're saying to yourself, like, man, I don't know if Denver can stop them. And Anquan Boldin told you.
He said, man, you know, they don't have a lot on offense. They don't have a lot of weapons. So don't think that this is just going to be a blowout. And then it stuck me in my tracks. I go, oh, man, I know. But I was on the Cam train. I'm not going to lie.
Deservedly so.
I was on the Cam train. And if you hear any of my interviews from last week, that's what I said. But Denver, it goes to show that defense wins championships. And if you have a strong enough defense and they're solid, it gives you an opportunity to be able to win. No matter how bad your offense is, right? But, Sean, individual performances – and keeping my eye on certain players that are difference makers in games that I've seen live, I've never seen anything like Von Miller. I don't know. It's hard to explain to watch his get off in person. I know Denver fans get to see it every single week. I've never seen anything like it. And it's like he's shot out of a cannon on every play. Like every play, he looks different. He's wearing the same jersey as everybody else, but he just looks different.
Now,
on the football
field. He wasn't there in 48 when they got blown out.
Yeah.
He was hurt.
That's right.
People forget that.
Wolf
was hurt. He was hurt. And I think Chris Harris Jr. was hurt.
So it was totally different.
Yeah.
And they played phenomenal. But, I mean, it comes down to what everybody's been talking about, though. The guy who lost.
Yeah.
Cam Newton. A lot of talk. A lot of talk about the press conference after the game. There's a lot of talk about his reaction after the fact when they got back to Charlotte and cleaned out his locker.
I have more problems with that personally than I did with him getting up from the press.
But let's not forget how close these press conferences were from the winning team to the losing team.
Yeah.
And some of the question selection, and you listen to some of those questions, and I was kind of like, well, listen, you have to be a professional.
Absolutely.
Let's just say that. You have to be a professional. You have to, when you're winning, you be graceful, acknowledge your opponent, and when you lose, you have to be as well. The problem I didn't have was that nobody was talking about what happened after
the
game.
That's interesting. You mentioned that off air. The questioning was very, and I think it had been that way the entire week leading up to the game.
He was having, if you watch any of the pressers.
It was almost like they were trying to start a fire.
Why are you, one of the questions.
Or trying to create something.
One of the questions.
That there was no need for.
Why are you wearing socks with your sandals?
Yeah, so, that's a post-game question.
No, that wasn't a post. That was actually at the hotel early in the week.
Right.
So what
does that mean?
What? So.
Question after the game. How does it feel to let your brothers down? What?
I mean, how do you take that? I mean, depending on how everybody's going to take that differently, the way that question is asked.
And I think what people are forgetting, Cam showed restraint by getting up and leaving. Absolutely, it was the wrong thing to do, in my opinion. But knowing him and knowing how he operates and knowing how he bites back at the media, the way things were going, it was either I'm about to say something really bad or I just get up and walk away. And he chose to get up and walk away.
And I can't.
And, you know, let's kill some of the narratives. Okay. Narrative number one, he's a sore loser. I give you that. When it goes beyond that, I've had some people call him a jerk. I have some people call him something else. I had some people try to connect it with his dancing. Cam Newton was dancing when they were 2-14. When he was dancing when they were 2-14 and 7-9 and 5-11, you had a problem with it because you said he wasn't winning.
Yeah.
So the dancing and the dabbing just didn't start when they started winning. He's done that since he came into the National Football League. The first touchdown he scored, he danced.
Yeah.
So that's who he is. So kill that narrative. Do your homework because that's not connected to what happened post-game. Number two, everybody out there that's in the African-American community that feels like somehow, some way, he's made it harder for black athletes and you're embarrassed, you need to get over yourself. When it comes to black athletes or anything from a societal standpoint, that struggle is that struggle. It's not based upon the actions of Cam Newton.
No, it's not.
It's not. It's a lot of other things going on the south side of Chicago that tug at my heart far more than Cam Newton getting up from a press conference.
It's true. It's bigger issues.
It's much bigger issues. Please let that go.
But my issue is that I'm not excusing Cam Newton from anything. Listen.
Yeah, and for people that don't view the situation the same way you might, we're not apologists.
True.
We're not apologists. This is not a decision that affects millions of people. This is not someone being shot in cold blood. This is not somebody being murdered by another young black man on the south side of Chicago. This is not a little girl being shot as she comes home from school by random fire. And she's an innocent bystander and a victim. No, this is not that. This is a player that got upset and handled a situation, regardless of whether you think is right or wrong, handled it the way he thought he needed to handle it at the time.
And that's my problem is that that's it.
That's
it. We try to turn it into so much stuff, but that's the way that he wanted to handle it. So let him deal with that. To me, we're not looking at everything, and we only are taking different segments from what we want to take it from.
Now,
can we look at it from a whole? Because after the game.
What's the first thing he did?
The first thing he did was he went over and he gave props to Peyton Manning.
With a smile.
With a smile on his face and didn't just walk off and give you the walk away.
Held a conversation.
And talked with the man, had a smile on his face, and then got back. And then you're asking him, as you can clearly see him, in his pants still, after a game.
Probably was rushed.
I don't care who you are. Yeah. I don't care what sport you play. If it's something that you love and the outcome is not how you expected it to be, you will be upset.
We're making excuses right now, just so you know.
Yeah. You will be upset. I ordered my iPhone 6. Okay? It was supposed to come on a Friday. It didn't come until the Monday after. And guess what? I was upset because I expected it should be there by that Friday. I was upset the entire weekend over a cell phone. So let's not talk about when we talk about one of the biggest games of your life. It doesn't matter. Take football out of it. If you love something so much and it doesn't happen, it will crush you. And so that's the issue that I have here. And I just want people to understand that. Let's not look at it. Everybody wants to go about this and that and race. You get to play a game. And I got a chance to play a game for fun and for money, a kid's game. If I'm on the field and I make a play, I'm getting up and I'm going to celebrate. But JP, that's not how your pops did it. Well, me and my pops are different. We're not the same person.
No.
We're not the same person. We're all different. We all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different things and things that we've all been through that made us who we are, that shaped us for that moment. Don't give me that you expect someone to be a certain way. That's your expectations for him.
And that's pretty much what he said in his press conference. He also talked about his leg possibly being contoured a certain way if he had gone straight down after that fumble. But something very interesting. I want you to go and think about this. In 2005, 60 Minutes did a special on Tom Brady. And it was called Tom Brady, the Winner. Brady was asked about how competitive he is with everything, even with silly things like backgammon. This is what he said. I'm a pretty good winner. I'm a terrible loser, and I rub it in pretty good when I win. But as soon as I lose, those backgammon sets, I broke more backgammon sets. I've dropped elbows on them. I don't know. It's like I wish I had a punching bag nearby sometimes. Cam Newton told you yesterday, you show me somebody that's cool with losing and that's not a sore loser, they're a loser.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Some people might handle it with more political correctness. They might have a little bit more wisdom. But at the core, guys that are winners are sore losers.
Okay, but I was listening to...
It is what it is.
Real quick, I was listening to Stephen A. and Skip Bayless talk, and they mentioned after the Saints beat the Colts in Miami, Peyton Manning made a beeline...
Straight to the locker room.
To the locker room. Didn't even congratulate Drew Brees.
At all.
So basically,
that's similar to Cam getting up from the press conference.
I mean... The press conference and the media, listen, I'm a part of the media. If you don't want to talk, you don't want to talk. But in the game against a guy that is like a fraternity brother to you, you make sure you give him props. And he didn't do that. No one talked about that.
It's narrative driven.
Come on, man.
It was all about clicks on Monday.
It is, man. That's what gets me boiling. We're all different, man. How we handle situations is different, and we need to respect that. We can have our views. We can have our opinions. Just have them. But guess what? Just keep them to yourself. I don't need to hear them on Twitter. I don't need to hear them all these places. Just keep it. Let's keep it real about the situation, please. Oh, my goodness.
Switch gears, man. Right back down the distance. We got our guy Brian Crawford. Hoop Magazine just dropped an interesting article. We'll get to him next. Coming up, she got Jared Payton at Payton Son. Sean Davis at SD2 Mics is down the distance right here. WGNRadio.com.